That song's got to be a favorite for so many Christians over the years. It's just wonderful. And, of course, longing to see His face, face to face with Jesus. That's something we are longing for, and you realize it's getting closer for each of us. We are a week closer than we were last week to seeing Jesus face to face. And so we need to understand that everyone is running out of time. And nobody's exempt from this. We all have the same amount of time in a week period, the 168 hours. And so what we do at that time is so important. And so we want to focus on the fact that we're running out of time. Now, if we knew that our time was imminent and like tomorrow would be our last day on earth, I'm sure most of us would want to make sure we're right with God right now and the rest of our life. But the problem is, we don't know when that time is going to be. And what we have always encouraged people to do, better get ready now, because we don't know the day or the hour that He's going to come. That's what even Jesus doesn't know that time. And so we just have to be ready all the time. In Psalm 32 and verse 6, it says, "For let everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely when the great waters overflow, they shall not reach unto him." Yes, we should always pray to God at a time when He can be found. When is that time? All the time. At any moment, we can pray to God and He will listen to us. At any moment, we can have a change of heart and decide we need to serve God better and ask Him for forgiveness, ask Him to give us that other chance. And He does. He is willing to do that for us. Anybody who wants to become a child of God can obey the gospel, be baptized for the remission of their sins, and then they have the privilege of talking to God in prayer 24/7, 365. But still, we're all running out of time. See, there's a countdown for each of us. We know that. We're not getting any younger, right? We've said that many times. We're not getting any younger. The clock is winding down to zero. And we have to realize that's going to happen. You know, the numbers are smaller for some of us than for others, or so we might think. But like I said, we don't know if we will see tomorrow. We might have an accident on the way home. A plane might fall out of the sky. An earthquake could do a lot of damage. And we not even see tomorrow. Then the Lord could come again at any moment, and we wouldn't see the next moment. But some things are just too late. And that's the problem with a lot of people who wear the name Christian, is the fact that they're going to be too late. See, when you see the smoke, it is too late to go buy a fire extinguisher. When you're in bad health, it is too late to buy insurance. And there's probably not a few people who will say before the operation, "Well, I wish I'd taken better care of myself." I mean, who of you have said that? I know. Okay, I know somebody has. But let's face it. When the doctor says you've got to have that cut out or this cut out, sometimes it could be brought on by our activities and our lifestyle and our eating habits. Maybe if we'd taken care of ourselves better, we wouldn't be in this condition. See, some will realize the bad choices they made often when it's too late. And that's really what it takes. It really takes a dramatic realization that you realize, I should have done it differently. I should have gotten more exercise. I should have eaten more proper food. I should have done this or that. And there's going to be a lot of people on Judgment Day, and, "Well, I should have, I should have, I should have." And it's not going to make any difference then. For us, it is not too late yet. But why take a chance? That's why we encourage each other to be faithful to God all the time. Because why take a chance? You know, there's a lot of people in this world going along thinking, well, I'll live it to the fullest, and then that last day, I'll just come back to the Lord. They never do. They're taking a chance with their soul. And is it worth it? Absolutely not. See, most people have a Bible, but do not take time to read and study it. And that's true. Probably everybody in here has more than one Bible. But how often do we open it up and actually read and study it? See, many people have church members concerned for their souls, but do not consider their own soul themselves. We're here to be there for each other, to encourage each other, to be faithful, to stimulate one another to love and good works. And some people just, they don't care. Or at least they act like they don't care. See, the longer you ignore something you know you need, the easier it is to ignore it. And that's a truism. I mean, it is. You keep ignoring it, it's easier to ignore it all the time. So the question is, why do you procrastinate? See, doing God's will. See, Matthew 7, 24 and 25, Jesus explained, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock." But not doing God's will, Jesus explained in the same context, "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Believe me, if your house fell around you, it'd be a great deal, wouldn't it? And it's too late. When the operation begins, it's too late to take vitamin pills and to start eating right. See, when the battle begins, it's too late to train the troops. When the whistle blows, it's too late to teach a game plan. And when the floodwaters rise, it's too late to find a rock foundation. It really is. I mean, you look for whatever you can find. But I think more people die from floods than just about any other natural disaster that we have across this country. See, when Satan attacks, they only can resist who have put on the whole armor of God. And we know Satan will attack. He's going to attack us with everything he's got. He's going to be checking us out. He's going to be looking at us and see where our weak points are. And that's where he's going to attack. Just like a coach will send out scouts to find out where the weakness is in the other team's defenses and then attack that point. Now, honestly, we all do know the merits of prevention, even though some of us probably have not done those things. See, having earthquake insurance is probably a good idea around here. And eating right and living a healthy lifestyle helps prevent sickness and disease. Well, we know that's true. And everybody knows that just walking a mile each day would improve their health very much. But who does it? Well, you got to have that resolve to do that. You got to get out and start taking that first step and go from there. I know a lot of you have told me that, yeah, I know, I'd be better off if I started walking every day. But you got to get out and do it. I mean, it takes a lot. It takes a change in your lifestyle to do that. That's what I started doing. Linda and I start going out, and we walk about a mile and a half every day. And we feel better. We do. See, buying the fire extinguisher before there's a problem is wise. And one is prepared if a fire happens. They'll have it figured out what they're going to do. You ever see somebody who doesn't have a fire extinguisher? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I mean, they're going crazy. What am I going to do? See, learning our Bible is the best thing for our soul. Yet how few actually do it. How few people actually read their Bibles to learn what God expects of them. I guess some people feel, well, if I don't learn what's in there, I'm not subject to it. Wrong. You are subject to what's in there. And God's going to hold you accountable for what He's put in there. Because in Revelation 20, when it says, and books were opened, one of those books is going to be the Bible. And that's the standard where He's given us His rules, His instructions. And if we haven't abided by those rules and instructions, we're going to be found wanting. We have to realize there's a war out there. And we know it's becoming more prevalent every day. There's a war against the followers of Christ. There's a war between good and evil taking place in this world. And right now it would appear that evil is overcoming. Well, Jesus said that was going to be the case. Many will find that broad path to destruction, but few will find the straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life. He knows there's a battle out there. And we should know there's a battle out there. Because Satan is attacking us 24/7, 365, and he does not give up. He is relentless. He is bent upon the destruction of your soul. He wants to see you in hell. That's all we can say about Satan. That's the only thing we really need to know about Satan. He wants to see you in hell, and he will help you get there any way that he can. And what Satan despises is one who would turn to God. Satan hates those who put their faith and trust in the Lord. But we have to be able to resist the Satan 24/7, 365. We can't let him in even for a moment, because our soul would be put in jeopardy if we did. The question is, are we taking this battle seriously? Are we really considering that we have a battle going on? We go through our daily lives, we go through our daily routine, and we really don't think much about it. And then Sunday comes around, oh, I need to go to church. I mean, the thinking about church should have started the moment you walk out this door. When can we be back here again? I mean, because this is where we get our strength. We get our strength from each other. We get our strength from the preaching of the Word of God. We get our strength when we study God's Word. Many people do not take it seriously. And that's evidenced by the way they live, by their sporadic attendance, and by some of their behavior. Not to mention what you might read on their Facebook page. So that's why we need to wear the armor of God every day. He told us to put on the full armor of God. Why? Why do we need it? We need this armor so we can be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. That's where we get our strength from, is God. It's not in ourselves. Sure, we might have a resolve amongst ourselves, and we're going to be ready to resist Satan, but we need God's help. And so that we might be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. He is scheming. He's trying to figure it out. You know, when you start talking about schemes, you talk about game plans. You know, they talk about this when you in sports, in football. They have an offensive scheme and a defensive scheme. And you got to learn the scheme. You got to figure out everybody's got to be on the same page is what he's talking about. Everybody's got to know what their job is and work to accomplish that job. And so we need to be able to stand firm, because Satan's trying to figure out how to get you into hell. And we have to be aware of that. We need to be able to need to stand firm when Satan presents these opportunities for us to sin. We've got to say, no. Be gone from me, Satan. Because our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Even though a lot of people carry out the schemes of the devil, our warfare is not against them, it's against the sin which they offer us. So we can resist in the evil day and stand firm. That's what we read when we start reading about the armor of God. Continuing on, we need to have our loins girded about with truth. The truth has got to be wrapped around you. Truth is reality. Truth is what God says it is. God's word is truth. We've got to envelop ourselves in God's word. We've got to have it around us. We've got to have it inside of us. Why? So we don't sin against God. I mean, that's what Psalm 119 verse 11 says. Thy word I've implanted in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And there's quite a few other passages in the Psalms which talks about that. That if we put our trust and our faith in the Lord and learn His word, it's going to be to our benefit. We put on the breastplate of righteousness as the forefront of your life. Your breastplate, that's the part that sticks out. This is what we need to do. We need to demonstrate righteousness in our lives, in our character, in our words, in our actions. We need to be prepared. Achieved by study. Prepared for the preparation of the gospel of peace. I mean, knowing it and teaching it. Just like Ezra planned to do many years ago. Ezra purposed in his heart to learn the law of the Lord so he could live the law of the Lord and that he could teach the laws of God to his people. I mean, that's what we should be doing. We should be learning it so that we can teach it to others. A lot of people feel, well, I don't have to teach it, I'll just learn it. But the problem is, they learn it, but do they live it? That's another point. Here's the point. If you're actually living according to God's word, you are teaching. You are teaching by example. And so that's what we're supposed to do. If you're not living it, you're not teaching. And only those who teach God's word are going to be going to heaven. See, we need that shield of faith, that protection. That's what we have. Our faith is to do that. Our faith is what gives us the resolve to be strong. Because any people who don't have faith, anything goes for them. And they're not prepared. The helmet of salvation, that is our hope. That's what we have our minds set upon. We have our minds set on God, on the things above, as we read there in Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. And we need to take with us the sword of the Spirit. The sword, the only offensive weapon in this armor. But it's the Bible, the Word of God. To any times that it's been explained, the Word of God is the sword. And that's what we have. And then we wrap it up with prayer. All these things we put on with prayer. And we go through because prayer is our lifeline. And it's like you put on all the scuba gear but don't put on your air tank and jump in the water. If you don't have a lifeline, if you don't have an airline, you're not going to last very long. That's what prayer does. It keeps us connected with God. So we are running out of time. So to prepare for that, here's some suggestions. Memorize verses now. And when you need it, you won't have time later on. So you got to worship God this Sunday, every Sunday. And when you need that strength, you may not have time to develop it. You got to get in the habit of serving God and putting Him first in your life. See, we need to repent of the sin that we now have. Because when Christ comes, you won't have time. Because it's not like He's going to be coming with a great big fanfare. And even though the scripture says, every eye will see and will come with the sound of a trumpet and the blast and a great sound. And it's not like, okay, we got warning. We got maybe 12 seconds to get things right with God. As Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15, it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. The blink, snap of a finger. A moment. I mean, we're going to be going along doing our thing. Next thing you know, we're going to be standing before God. We're not going to know what hit us. It's going to be there that fast. And we won't have any warning. Some people are hoping that they'll have a little bit of warning before they die. Okay, Lord, you can save me now. Or forgive me now. After living a life of sin and evil. You won't have time when Christ comes back because it will be sudden. So we encourage you to review your broken connection with God and His church now. See, at your funeral, you won't have time. It will be too late. Because of the fatality in becoming a Christian too late, obey God now when it's not too late. Some people want to put it off. They say, I'm having too much fun. I don't want to give up my fun, so I'll become a Christian later. You know, we read about Felix. He said the same thing to Paul. Later on, I'll become a Christian, but for now, I'm not going to do it. And there's no evidence that he ever did. You need to become a Christian now, because when you get to Judgment Day, you won't have time. And there's a lot of false teaching out there that says, yeah, there'll be a second chance. The premillennialists and the Catholics and other groups, oh yeah, we'll have another chance. The millennium's going to come and everybody can make themselves right then. Until then, hey, we can do what we want. There is no second chance. We have one chance to get it right. We sing that song, Almost Persuaded But Lost. You know, there's some people, they're just thinking about it. I'm thinking about it. And they procrastinate, and guess what? Something happens to them, and they are lost. We need to obey the Lord and be saved. Every one of us needs to do that. And in doing so, you'll be prepared when he comes again and causes you to stand before him in judgment. You need to be prepared, because we are running out of time. And you need to take that prevention seriously. Your soul depends upon it. So consider those thoughts. That's our lesson for this evening. I hope it offers words of encouragement. And if you've been lax in your service to God, maybe it'll give you something to think about so that you can start serving God better than you have in the past. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, you're outside of Christ. You're lost, plain and simple. What you need to do is obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You do that by believing Jesus Christ is the Son of God and repenting of your sins, changing your ways to stop doing the sin in your life, confessing his name and being baptized for the removal of your sins. Wash your sins away. And then purpose in your heart to live faithful, learning what God wants you to do and making the effort to do so. That's what you need. If we can offer any assistance to you, and if you realize what you need, we stand ready to help you, and we invite you to come while we stand and sing.